Imagine this. You're working hard all year. You hit your targets. You show up early. You stay late. You even train your people. When bonus time comes, you get your check, only to find out that your coworker, who barely did half the work, got double the bonus. How do you feel? Angry? Betrayed? Ready to quit? Maybe. Even though you still got extra money, something inside you screams, this isn't fair. And that's the trap, because once fairness instincts kick in, logic leaves the room. You are listening to The Mammoth in the Room, a podcast dedicated to sharing science-backed leadership strategies for real-world success. Welcome back to this week's episode of The Mammoth in the Room, where we explore leadership lessons that stand the test of time. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, CEO of Mammoth Leadership Sciences. Today, we continue our special edition series, Primal Instincts, Hidden Forces Behind Global Power Games. If you missed last week's episode, we uncovered how ancient dominance rituals drive modern trade wars. This week, we're diving into another ancient force, wrecking deals, partnerships, and even nations, the fairness instinct. Stick with me until the end, because you'll learn why fairness matters more than winning, how fairness rage has shaped history, and three leadership moves to manage fairness and close smarter, stronger deals. All right, let's dive in. Evolution didn't design us to be rational. It designed us to survive in small groups where fairness meant everything. Sarah Brasman and Franz De Waal's famous 2003 experiment with capuchin monkeys showed just how deep this goes. Two monkeys, side by side. They both complete the same task. One monkey gets a cucumber slice, a good reward. The other gets a grape, a much better reward. The monkey who gets cucumber flips out. It screeches. It throws the cucumber back. It refuses to continue. Even though cucumber is normally just fine, unfair treatment triggers rage. And humans aren't so different. From childhood, we're obsessed with fairness. That's not fair becomes a protest before kids even understand money. Adults strike, sue, and sometimes sabotage organizations that treat them unfairly. In negotiations, in leadership, and especially in international trade, perceived unfairness can kill billion-dollar deals, even if both sides would benefit materially, because in our evolutionary wiring, fairness equals trust and survival. Now, let's look at two historical examples where fairness, or the lack of it, shaped world events. First, the Treaty of Versailles, 1919. World War I had devastated Europe. Millions dead. Economies shattered. When the war ended, the victorious Allies had a choice. Rebuild Europe cooperatively or punish Germany harshly. They chose punishment. Under the Treaty of Versailles, Germany was forced to accept full blame for the war, and crippling reparations payments were imposed. Huge territories were taken away. The German economy collapsed. Humiliation ran deep, and anger brewed. Historians, including Margaret Macmillan in her book Paris 1919, argue that the treaty's unfairness directly fueled the rise of extremism and the outbreak of World War II. The Allies won the negotiation, but they lost the peace because unfairness created deep, lasting resentment. Second, union strikes and wage disputes. In modern labor negotiations, the pattern repeats constantly. Studies show that workers are often willing to accept pay cuts if everyone shares the pain equally. But if executives get bonuses while employees are laid off, or if salary cuts hit only certain groups, expect rage, expect strikes, expect reputational damage. Economists Ernst Fehr and Klaus Schmidt showed in 1999 that people will willingly hurt themselves to punish unfairness, even when cooperation would benefit everyone. Fairness matters, not just in emotional terms, but in cold, hard business outcomes. So how can smart leaders use the fairness instinct instead of being trapped by it? Here are three strategies. First, Frame negotiations around mutual wins. People need to feel respected, even if they concede ground. Before finalizing deals, ask, does this feel a win for both sides? Will both parties be able to save face publicly? Don't just split the pie logically, split it in a way that feels equitable. Remember, perception drives reality. If someone walks away feeling humiliated, the deal is already dead, whether they sign the paper or not. Second, preempt fairness rage early. Before tensions explode, surface fairness concerns proactively. During negotiations or leadership conversations, say things like, we want a solution that feels right for everyone. Let's make sure everyone wins here, not just one side. It signals goodwill and makes it psychologically harder for the other side to escalate emotionally. Smart leaders don't just manage numbers, they manage feelings. And third, allow symbolic wins. Often the biggest fairness fights aren't about money, they are about respect. If you can give symbolic victories, acknowledging sacrifices publicly, letting the other side announce the deal first, offering small visible gestures of goodwill, you trigger powerful positive emotions. Because when people feel seen and valued, they're far more likely to cooperate. Let's summarize. Humans, like our non-human primate cousins, are obsessed with fairness. We'd rather lose a little and punish unfairness than win big and feel cheated. In business, politics, and leadership, ignoring fairness kills deals. Managing fairness builds trust. Smart leaders make fairness work for them, not against them. Frame deals around mutual respect. Surface fairness issues early. Offer symbolic wins generously. Because in today's interconnected world, fairness isn't just a nice to have. It's the glue that holds everything together. All right, that's it for today's episode. If you found this valuable, subscribe, rate, and share it with anyone passionate about leadership. And if you want to go deeper, check out my book, The Mammoth in the Room. It's a practical guide for how great leaders and their teams embrace evolutionary truths to drive outstanding business results. And it does that in three sections, on people, on strategy, and on implementation. Next week, we continue our Primal Instinct series. We'll tackle status anxiety and why fear of falling behind drives leaders to make some of the worst decisions of their careers. Trust me, you'll want to hear that one. Until next time, lead wisely, think critically, and don't let ancient instincts hijack your modern leadership. Nicholas Bocconi, The Mammoth in the Room. Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this content, don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you on the next episode of The Mammoth in the Room.